the devil's advocates. The fix for political junkies everywhere.
Don't want to be an American idiot.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Monday edition. My little buddy Dominic joining us very, very soon. Got Fancy Brian in the Shaw. Got Evan here in the world headquarters, lightly screening your calls. You could join us anytime here to the end of the show, 844-967-2789. Fancy Brian talking a little bit about the big senatorial race here in the great state of Wisconsin. It's going to heat up, man. Summer's upon us. Tomorrow, the unofficial start of summer, the Jade Monkey Party. But put it on your calendar. Circle it. Because we're calling it summer as of tomorrow. And we'll be partying. You know, because that's what we do. It's summertime. Let me read from the reporting of America over at CNN. That's literally the man's name. I'm not making fun of him. For years, Democratic candidates, especially on the statewide, I know I'm being a little redundant, bear with me, some new people joined. For years, Democratic candidates, especially on the statewide and national level, have been rejected by voters in the less populated areas. I'm talking about here in the state of Wisconsin. And they talked about the trend beginning back in 2009, sort of a, pardon me, a rejection of Barack Obama. And we saw a red wave here in the state of Wisconsin in 2010. For those that don't have, you know, sort of Dory-like, goldfish-like memories, Scott Walker swept into election. The Wankinator was the governor. Of course, Ron Johnson won his first elective office. First time he ran, he became a U.S. senator. Only took him like $9, $10 million. A little bit more. That dynamic has led to a political map of Wisconsin, like many states across America, becoming a series of blue islands in a sea of rural red. When Obama carried Wisconsin in 2008, he did so by winning 59 of the state's 72 counties. 12 years later, Joe Biden carried the state by winning just 14 counties, an uptick from the 12 Hillary Clinton won while she lost the state in 2016. And this is not a new problem for Democrats either. Obama, in the wake of Trump's 2016 win that underlined the party's rural problem, warned Democrats of becoming a coastal liberal latte-sipping party full of politically correct, out-of-touch folks. But the party has continued to struggle. Apparently, they didn't take the man's advice. In 2018, Democratic Senate incumbents in North Dakota, Missouri, and Indiana were drowned by a Trump-propelled rural surge, losing re-election despite increased turnout in suburban and urban areas amid that year's blue wave. The trend continued in 2020. Biden's support with suburban and smaller metropolitan areas delivered him the White House, but Trump sustained his strong rural margins. And in 2021, Virginia Democrat Terry McAuliffe faced intra-party criticism for essentially ignoring rural voters in his gubernatorial loss to Republican Glenn Youngkin, who managed to improve on Trump's rural margins from just a year earlier. Now, McAuliffe and his top aides believe the party had hit rock bottom in rural America, an assumption that is proved wrong on Election Day. Today, Democrats hold only 3 of 20 Senate seats in the country's 10 most rural states. John Tester in Montana, Patrick Leahy in Vermont, and Joe Manchin. Good old Joe Manchin, son of a... Joe Manchin in West Virginia. With 2 rural state independents caucusing with the party, you know, Bernie and King, I believe, in Maine. Of the 30 seats in the U.S. House from those states, Democrats hold only 6. We've got work to do out here, said Wisconsin State Senator Brad Paff, who's running to succeed retiring Democrat Ron Kind in a district that includes much of the state's pastoral Southwest. As a national party, we've moved away from the basics. I know that people out here feel overlooked and left behind. I hear that every single day, and they have a reason to be. He added, as Democrats, we've missed it. A little bit more from this article. For Democrats, the focus is no longer about winning rural counties. It's about keeping the margins down so the party's dominance in urban areas and newfound success in suburban communities can propel them to victory. That's the playbook, Wisconsin Democratic Senator Tammy Baldwin wrote in winning a second term in 18. Now, you want to know who's the best damn politician in the state of Wisconsin? It's Tammy Baldwin, hands down. How do I know? Look at her margins of victory. Here's a quote. Voters of Wisconsin do have some independent traditions, and especially in rural areas. Showing up matters. Listening matters. Putting in the work matters, Baldwin told CNN, saying the best thing Democrats can do is point out that they're fighting for and what Republicans are standing against. Now, Baldwin is the exception. However, Republicans, especially since Trump's first run for president, have dominated rural areas, and many Democrats are publicly and privately wondering whether it's possible for voters who backed the former president to be brought back to supporting Democratic candidates. Now, Barnes drew scorn in 18 when he said, "You can keep them," about voters who backed Obama but then voted for Trump and still supported the Republican president. He attempted to clean up the comment. "I could have been more clear," he said at the time, but when pressed on the issue recently, he didn't back away from the broader idea. Again, a quote, "It depends on if they think the election was stolen or not," he said about winning the two-time Trump voter. "For somebody who thinks the election was stolen, that is going to be an almost impossible sell. But there are still people around who just truly feel that they've been forgotten. But I truly push back on this notion that we can't be competitive in the rural parts of Wisconsin," he added. "Do I think we're going to win a bunch of rural counties this election cycle? No. But we're going to make a dent, a substantial dent. We're going to lower those margins." As for whether a 35-year-old black man from Milwaukee is the best candidate to cut into the margins in predominantly white and older areas, Barnes laughed. "Obama was our high watermark from Chicago, an even more complicated name than mine." I don't think the problem's the name. Mandela Barnes won statewide office. I mean, I think he was an invigorating factor on the ticket with Tony. Barnes' opponents mostly say the same thing on reaching out to rural voters. They plan to show up, listen, and learn. Candidates such as Godlewski and Nelson tout their rural credentials by noting their ties to areas beyond Milwaukee and Madison. But whether that outreach will mean similar margins in rural counties, that's another question. A quick quote from Godlewski. "That's how we lose," Godlewski said, "the idea that Trump voters are winnable for Democrats. What we have failed at in the past is we just show up a few months before the election and we expect them to say, 'Oh, great, thanks for showing up. Now you care about me.' And really, they're like, 'Where have you been?'" Godlewski admitted there is a certain segment that you're not going to be able to change who will fall on their sword for what they believe in. But she said there's a large middle in Wisconsin who are looking at who is the best candidate that's going to actually work for me and deliver for me and, quite frankly, get me. Well, here's the thing I love about our audience. They get me. Fancy Brian, they truly get me. And, you know, I appreciate when they join us and me on the phones. 844-967-2789. The Happier Happy Hour. Tom joins next. Stick around, please. I know you will.
The level of stupidity is incredible.
And when you're a star, they'll let you do it. You can do anything.